Readers Entertainment Radio presents Book Lights with your host, author Lisa Kessler. Book Lights, where we're shining a light on good books.
Happy Monday, everyone. Can you believe it's a new week? I hope you're all recovering from Cinco de Mayo or Revenge of the Fifth, depending on what you celebrate. This is Lisa Kessler, and we're back. Book Lights is live, and today I'm really excited because it's a fellow paranormal romance author. Oh, my gosh. So anyway, it's going to be super fun. Thanks for being here. Today
Thanks
we have
so much
Abigail
for having me.
Owens. Yeah, great to have you back. If you didn't hear Abigail last time she was on, we had a great time, and we're going to again. There will be dragons. And if you haven't met Abigail yet, I'm going to read her bio for you really quick, and then we'll be off and running or flying, whatever your dragon does. So Abigail grew up consuming books and exploring the world through her writing. She attempted to find a practical career related to her favorite pastime by earning a degree in English rhetoric or technical writing. However, she swiftly discovered that writing without imagination is not nearly as fun as writing with it. So no matter the genre, she loves to write feisty heroines, sexy heroes who deserve them, and a cast of lovable characters to surround them and maybe get their own stories. After 10-plus years since finishing her first book, she's now a multi-award-winning author who's written 30-plus novels, novellas, and short stories under two pen names, so she's super busy, guys. With more to come, she also owns and operates Authors on a Dime, and there is a link, so if you are a writer and you're looking for extra help, there is a link on the Blog Talk site, so you can check that out. She helps authors with their publishing journey, and she currently resides in Austin, Texas, with her own personal hero, who she totally married, so she's also smart, and there are two children who are growing up way too fast. I did put a link to Abigail's website also on the Blog Talk site, and I know if you go there, you can sign up for her newsletter, which we authors love. We love to have a way to get in touch with you, because everyone knows sometimes Facebook doesn't show you what your friends are posting. So without further ado, Abigail, you there?
Hi, it's so nice to be back on the show.
Yeah, thanks for coming back. You have a new book out. We were book release sisters again, right?
We were, yeah, again. Yeah, they keep pairing us up, which is awesome.
I know, I love that. I'm okay being, you know, Wonder Twins. I just don't want to be the bucket of water.
Right. Just mop.
I want to be the cool tiger.
Seriously. Yeah, one of those really got gypped with the powers.
Right? Oh my gosh, that was so funny. Anyway, why don't you tell the readers about The Rookie? That's the new book, right? Why should they get it this week?
Yep. That is the new book. So it's the third-ish installment in my Fire's Edge series. So there's actually a prequel novella called The Mate. That one's free. And then there's The Boss, and that one's available, obviously. And so then this is the second full novel in the series. They all stand alone, so you can read them out of order if you want, although I do kind of recommend you read them in order. But they do stand alone, and so he gets his own happily ever after along with his heroine. And in this one, it kind of is a continuation from The Boss in that the hero and heroine, Aiden and Sarah, met during The Boss, and he thinks she's human. He is a dragon shifter, but it turns out that she is a dragon shifter's mate. However, there are many problems with that ensue with the kind of mate she is and some of the signs that are going on in terms of what the fates are telling them. There's also, just with dragon shifters in general with this series, the mating system itself kind of sucks. And don't worry, readers, I plan to solve that by the end of the series. That's the whole point of kind of the overarching series issue. But yeah, so they have that to deal with too.
And in this book, I was curious about the title. So is he like a rookie dragon? Is he a new dragon, baby dragon?
He's a rookie on the team. So he is part of a team of dragon enforcers. And the enforcers, think of them kind of like a combination of SWAT slash judge, jury, executioner.
They
pretend to be firefighters so that they can mix in with humans because fires, dragons, get it. But their job is to make sure that all of the clans and kings who are in Asia and Europe primarily, all of their laws are followed in the colonies, and they're in the American colonies.
Okay, so these take place in America.
Yep, these take place in America, primarily in Northern California, which is where I'd lived for many years, and they have mountains there, so that was very convenient because that's where I have my dragons living, is in mountains.
Okay, perfect.
It was able to really use some of the area that I'm very familiar with, which it helps write the book, I find.
Yeah, definitely. I always love to, if it's not somewhere where I've lived, I like to go there because you just always pick things up. You can't get off Google.
You do, you really do. Although I've learned, because there's some places I can't visit. For instance, I have one right now, a book that I just wrapped up edits on, actually, that's in Everest, and I was like, yeah, I'm never not going to that. That's not on my bucket list.
No, you're not an Everest girl.
A lot of people, no, I love mountains. I'm not climbing that kind of mountain. Thank you very much. I don't need to look death in the face.
I don't
want to
die on a mountain. That's not really how I see myself going out.
And it's really cold, and there's no oxygen. Like, there's all sorts of things that are keeping me out. Yeah. And so I find that people like to travel journal, and they will put a lot of good details if you find the right blogs about things like the smells or the, sounds or how it really felt that cold or how hard it really was to breathe, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and that helps because there's little tiny details that you end up using, and that makes the book real, I think.
Yeah, yep, exactly.
So for readers who haven't read Fire's Edge yet, you have like a crossover coming up too, right? Is it a different dragon clan or something?
It's the kings and clans from Europe and Asia. So the ones that are setting the rules, they've got their own set of problems. They've got there's several different clans, six clans. And then one of the kings of those clans is the High King, and he's the one that kind of dictates everybody. But he's a false High King and has been in power for quite some time, about 500 years. And so he's causing lots of problems. So it's about other kings taking over kind of and rising up against them. It's called the Inferno Rising series. Right now, the way Entangled is marketing it is Game of Thrones meets J.R. Ward's Black Dagger Brotherhood.
Nice.
So if you like either of those and you're really into romance and dragon shifters, I think you would love the series. And then the idea is that they'll come out kind of every other. So we've got the two Fire Edge books coming out, and then First Inferno Rising is called The Rogue King. That comes out in July 30th. And then it's every other. So then another Fire's Edge, and then another, King's Clans, another Inferno Rising, and so on and so forth.
Very cool.
Lots of books coming. Yeah.
And with Game of Thrones coming to an end, lots of people are going to need some dragons in their life, right?
That's what I'm thinking, yeah. Well, and it's I'm trying to stick to the whole nobody's safe, although maybe not quite in the way that Jim does it. Oh, my gosh. And also just the number of characters, but hopefully not so many that it's overwhelming.
Right. And I write werewolf packs a lot, and by the end of the series, you have so many characters in play, but you don't want to overwhelm people who haven't read the series.
So it is
a challenge.
I
can only have half of you in the room.
Exactly. Yeah. Or I can only talk about these three, so the others are going to be out flying and doing something else right now.
Right. Yes. They're out going to the grocery store.
Exactly.
So why dragons? Have you always had a love for dragons?
Always loved dragons. In fact, I think I recently blogged about my top favorite dragons just in mostly in TV and movies. I just find them fascinating. I find them fascinating in that they're huge. They can fly. There's fire breathing, but they can also be very magical. I like the fact that you can go so many different directions with dragons. just in terms of we've seen, you know, kind of kind, sweet dragons, if you think of like Pete's dragon, to, you know, just man-eating, you know, beasts, if you think about like the movie Dragon Slayer, or what was that one? The one with Matthew McConaughey, it's not going to come to me. But you get what I'm talking about. And then somewhere
right,
in between,
right.
So like, you know, where they can talk to you or they can communicate with you like an Aragorn. There's just so many different ways you can go with them, and I love that. And so many different mythologies associated with them. Dragons are in just about every culture's mythology across the planet, and that's not true of many other different kinds of mythologies.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah. And unicorns. Sorry, I'm all about the
unicorns. And unicorns, yeah. I do love the unicorns, yep.
I know, right? Someday I'm going to have that unicorn shifter book. Okay.
About dragons. That's awesome. I will read that, Lisa, when that comes out. I want to hear the unicorn shifter story.
So I will have one reader of my unicorn shifters. Woo!
And I'm sure there'll be many more than that. You're so fair. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, so on your dragons, do the heroines shift into dragons too? I mean, because like in werewolves, they often, you know, get bitten at some point and turn into a werewolf. Do they turn into dragons?
They do, eventually. So, it's not a bite that does it for this. It's the mating. They have to be mated in a very specific way. Basically, the male dragon pushes his fire into her. You can read that any way you want. and then she's got to learn how to shift. So every dragon has to learn how to shift. It's possible for dragons to go feral if they do it too soon or too quickly or without family there to kind of anchor their humanity to something. And so, but they do. They do shift eventually. Yep.
So they're not always just like riding the dragon, so to speak.
They're not always riding the dragons. They eventually get to be their own dragon, which I think is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But then
cool.
My heroines in the Inferno Rising series are going to be something a little bit different. They've got their own gig going on. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So we have to wait until July to find out what that is.
Yep. Yeah, and Fire's Edge, the dragon, the males are definitely, it's a very male-dominated society. And so we have to kind of deal with those poor alphas who just don't know how to, you know, figure things out with a woman, without a woman there. I'm kidding. In Inferno Rising, the women get to be the kind of the power.
Oh, nice.
And I like that. I have fun with powerhouse heroines. Even in Fire's Edge when they're humans, I still like them to be feisty and in your face. So they don't let those dragons
right.
do get away with much.
They don't let them walk all over them.
That's for sure.
So I already outed myself with unicorn shifters, but do you have a special paranormal creature that you're dying to write that you haven't written yet? A wish
you know,
list?
Oh, gosh. There's always a wish list. I love shifters of all kinds. I've already done mountain lion shifters. And I've already done a series that was, I call them my X-Men series. So it's various different kinds of supernatural powers. That one was actually a lot of fun to write. I tease my editor, Heather, that what I want to do is get Last of the Mohicans and take that and put it modern day with X-Men.
Oh, nice.
And she's like, let's
I
get
like
through
it.
All these dragons, please. Yeah.
Very cool. I like that idea very much. I'm writing Immortal Pirates right now, but I'm having so much fun with all of these relics and things that they're, you know, missions they're going off to do. And I'm like, I want to get into Department 13 is like this super secret division of the government. And I want to do from the files. And Liz is like, slow down. Let's get through.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Well, I love your pirates. Your pirates are fantastic. And I can tell you're having so much fun with those.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm having having a blast. But your brain does constantly. I mean, how many other series do you have, you know, on your wish list to write?
In my head? Oh, yeah. I've got at least 20. It's funny when I'll talk to my agent. He'll be like, do you have any ideas for this? And I'm like, you mean this, 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 or this?
Right.
It's like creativity spawns more creativity. That's actually a question I get asked a lot by non-writers is, how do you keep coming up with ideas? Aren't you just going to run out of ideas? And I'm like, actually, you know, this one little thing I put in this book might spark something where I'm like, oh, I could do a whole other thing with that and like run it this way. And or I would love to twist it in this way and do something completely different. Yeah, it just keeps going.
Yeah. There's some famous, you know, ancient classical writer said something about that once you turn on the faucet, more ideas just, you know, it just happens. They
just
flow.
Keep coming.
So
yeah.
It's like the more you use it, the more ideas you get. You don't run out. It's not the other way.
Yeah, exactly. It's not, there's kind of an infinite supply. It's just kind of tapping into what are you most interested in this moment. And then there's the whole, okay, I signed up for 8 books of this, which is going to be fantastic, but it's going to take me 3 years. And meanwhile, my brain is like, what about this? I'm totally squirrel brain.
Right.
Like, squirrel over there. Yeah.
Right. No, I totally get it. And does that mean that you are a pantser or a plotter? What's your process like?
I am somewhere in between, although if you ask my writing partner, Nikki, I'm sure she would be yelling at me right now going, you're a plotter. I started out a pantser. My mm-hmm. first book that I finally finished, I didn't even write in order. I had no idea what the plot was going to be. I just knew one scene from the book, and that's what I started with. And then I would think of another scene and write that and think of another scene and write that, and then eventually put them in order and connected the dots. So I completely didn't even, I had no process whatsoever. These days I've written enough books now that I write it in order. I've been to enough workshops that I've found kind of a method to my madness. So I still don't like to plot heavily because I find that if I write out every little detail of what's going to happen in notes, I feel like it's kind of like watching the movie before you read the book. You're like, oh, I've seen it. now I don't want to, whereas
doesn't
if I read the book ahead of time.
Yeah, for me, it turns into a term paper, right? I mean, doesn't it turn into homework if you know what's going to happen?
Like, I already wrote this.
And then
and
then suddenly your book becomes like medicine.
Yes, and it's like, oh, you know, I already know what's going to happen. No surprises are coming to me at all. And so I tend to plot out kind of the key pivotal moments in there and some things about the character arcs that I want to make sure I get in. And after that, I let the characters take it where they will.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I usually know what the black moment's going to be, and I know kind of where I want it to end, and I don't know how I'm going to get there. And sometimes the best books are the ones that I think I know what's going to happen, and then it goes, nope, it makes a hard right.
Go sideways on you. You're like,
what?
But we're supposed to go over here. And the characters are like, no, I have the wheel.
But over the years, I have finally gotten to where I'm usually trusting of the story, and so I'll just follow it and see what happens. And 99% of the time, it's always better than what I had planned, right?
Oh, yeah. Always. Where you come up and you're like, oh, this will be so much better than that. I don't know why I didn't think of that.
Right.
Or I'll even have really, and it's always something small. Like, I'll be reading another book. It's a completely different genre. It has nothing to do with anything that I'm writing, and it'll be like one sentence, and I'm like, that's the problem with my hero. I need to make him do this. I have no idea why those things trigger it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And for the readers who are listening, who are some of your favorites that you like to read?
Oh, gosh. I read just about everything across the board. So I always read a lot of romance, obviously, since I write it. And in that space, I love your books. So I've got to give you a big, huge props because they're fantastic. And actually, I read just about all the authors from the Entangled lineup of paranormals. Just they're all fantastic. I also love Heather Kellogg Walden is she's a big-selling author, but I believe she's indie, and so I don't hear her name as much at various different conventions or things, but she's fantastic. She's got a lot of different – she's got angels and shifters and all sorts of things. I love Rebecca Zanetti. She's awesome. I'm trying to think who else. Suzanne.
She's on my list too.
Right, yeah. So, you know, anybody who does good shifters with good chemistry, the chemistry is always key element for me. So
yeah. I also love, do you read Patricia Briggs?
I do. Yep. Fantastic.
Yes. I love her. I love her shifters very much. And Kelly Armstrong, right? Her Women of the Other World series had some of my favorite shifters in it.
I'll have to try that one. That's one I have not tried. All right.
Oh, yeah, definitely give it a try. It starts with Bitten, but it's just the coolest world ever. One of my favorites.
Okay.
And then I have a new fave going. If you haven't read Rebecca Roanhorse yet,
Nope.
She has a new urban fantasy series, and the second book just came out. And her urban fantasy series is based on Navajo mythology of the apocalypse.
Oh,
and
it is
fascinating.
I always love it when you can bring
so
in really cool mythologies, and that's because that adds such a. I don't think an author can get into the details of it the way a real mythology can, and come up with all the different twists and turns. So yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, and the other perk is that she's an Own Voices author. She's the first Indigenous writer to win a Nebula. Yeah, so
fantastic.
So Trail of Lightning is the first one, and I think I just got the second book. It's Storm of Locusts. Super good. You should read it.
Well, you've sold me. I'm definitely going to have to go check those out.
Yeah, you won't be sorry. They're really good. Oh, good. I was like, uh-oh, I forgot to look at the time. Okay, she's not going to hang up on us yet.
No.
So what should we all be, obviously Game of Thrones, but what other dragon things should we be watching now that we can stream whatever we want?
You know, a lot of them are older at the moment. I actually watched recently, it was on Netflix, and you know how Netflix has added a lot of the foreign language films?
Right.
To the lineup. And so, and I'm trying to, I think it's called I Am Dragon. And it's there's a princess involved, and there's a guy who's a dragon, but he can't control it, and he becomes – so that one was fantastic, and the visuals were really neat because every time he would shift, there would be, like, ashes kind of and embers coming off of him and just really neat, really cool visuals that I, of course, then had to be like, okay, I think I'm going to have ashes and embers coming off something in one of my books because that's just way
very
too cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that one was really great.
Amazing.
And then, you know, there's the kind of the classics. Like I still remember watching Dragon Slayer as a kid, and that was that old 80s movie with Berserk Pejorative, I think is the name of the dragon, if I said it right. And all the different ways to kill her, and she's a mama dragon, and so it's like she's just defending her babies. Like, you know, it's kind of like with Darth Vader where you can see both sides. When Darth Vader dies, I cry.
Right.
Yeah.
Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. Where you start feeling bad for Smaug.
Yes. Yeah. Where you're like, they know the villain is always the hero in their own story. Usually, they've got a good reason for doing what they're doing. That's the best kind of villain, in my opinion.
For sure. Yeah. I agree. So, what was the thing that you were a technical writer, but you had to have? What was the big inspirational moment that where you went, you know what, I'm going to write me some romance?
Well, so the timing on that was kind of funny. So I ended up not doing as much with the technical writing officially as you would think. I did an internship and realized that, this this kind of writing is necessary. People need manuals and instructions and things like that, but it's, boy, is it really boring to do. And so at the time that I wrote my first book, I was actually working for Intel as a business analyst, so crunching numbers more than doing words, which is kind of funny. You would think my brain would not function both ways, but I guess I like both. I like analytics and I like the creative side of things. And so I was doing that, and that was about, at the time, the position that I was in and the account that I was on, I was doing like 60-hour work weeks consistently. And at the same time, my kids were about 2 and 4, and I was getting my MBA.
Oh,
and
my
I decided that would be a great time to write and self-publish my first book.
Do you never sleep? You never sleep.
I actually love to sleep. Sleep is one of my favorite things to do, and I've got an early bedtime. The book was my brain break from all of the responsibilities that I had at that time. And I would only get 200 or 300 words on page a night, but I'd get that on there and just have my brain let it go. And I do have to say, though, now that I write full time, I really appreciate being able to write full time. Although I've packed it in with all the Authors on a Dime stuff, so I'm balancing that still. So I don't sit still. Well, let's just put it that way.
You stay very busy. You're multitasking.
I have to. This weekend I finished everything that I had on my to-do list for the weekend, like, I don't know, about halfway through Sunday, and for the rest of Sunday I was like, what do I do? I don't. Okay, I guess I'll read a book. Like, what?
Yeah, kids, come entertain me. I'm bored.
Yeah, honey, let's play a game or something. I can't just sit here.
Oh, my gosh. No, I can totally relate. My kids are out now, but I just can remember them running in and me going, is someone on fire? No. Is anyone bleeding? No.
Yep.
Okay, then I need 10 more minutes.
Yep. Well,
otherwise,
my office is wide open.
Right,
there's
now
no door to it. And so I can't shut anybody out. And because I'm a full-time writer, I'm also a stay-at-home mom. So, like, I'm here when they get home from school, et cetera, and have to get them through homework and that kind of thing. And there's days when I'm like,
right,
I just, 30 minutes, just 30 minutes. I can finish this, send it, and we can go. Like, please.
And my kids,
that
for whatever
bedtime
reason,
I'm telling you.
Yeah. Well, and they think whoever gets there first is going to get believed. So it's like a race in there to
tell. Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Squish each other in the door, push, shove.
Oh, yeah, and
I
they get a lot of,
part.
You need to work this out between the two of you, which is really translate. I still have to get this done, so guess what?
Right. Uh-huh. Yes, deal amongst yourselves.
Yep.
No one's on fire and no one's bleeding. I don't want to hear about it.
Then, yeah, you got it.
So what's up next for you? I know you have a book coming out in July, right?
I've got a book coming in July, and so that's the first of the Inferno Rising series, The Rogue King. And then I've got another book. So I have, believe it or not, I need to update my my bio. I have 3 pen names now instead of 2. Yeah, I'm nuts.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's bananas. So I have Katie Scott is my other pen name that I've written more under. That one is kind of sexier contemporary romance. I've got cowboys, and then I've got a kind of a nerds and FBI series. And so I've got another cowboy book coming out in the fall. I can't remember if it was September or October because it's escaping me at the moment. And then I've got another dragon shifter coming in December. As long as I just sent that manuscript yesterday, believe it or not. So hopefully I got it in time to get all the edits done and whatnot, in time for that date. And then I've got another cowboy coming in January. That's the last of my 5-book cowboy series. And then after that, 2020, we'll see. More dragons. And then the first book from my 3rd pen name, which is going to be Sweet Contemporary Romance. And that's going to be under Kristen McKenna. Yeah.
Wow. So you still have 4 more books to come out this year.
I do. Yeah. I've got a bunch coming out this year. I've been writing, getting it all set up kind of in the pipeline, and now they're starting to, like, domino out. So, yay. I'm really excited.
Yeah, go you. So I can't believe we're out of time, but before we go, do you have any giveaways going with the new book? What, how do you want readers to contact you?
Absolutely. So definitely either follow me on BookBub if you just want to make sure you get all my new releases. They're, that's the best way to just get that without having lots of stuff in your inbox. Follow me on my newsletter if you want to hear about all my giveaways. I think there's only one going on at the moment. It's on ParanormalRomanceGuild.com. It's for a $10 Amazon gift card and a signed copy of the box. So you can hop on there and grab that. And then, yeah, I have them going. I do giveaways throughout the month kind of pretty consistently. And so I make sure that they're posted on my newsletter always, but they're also posted on Facebook. But as you mentioned, Facebook and Twitter, you don't see necessarily all the posts from your favorite authors.
You don't see everything, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, well, thanks for being here again. It was so fun. Dragons, unicorns, woo! Come back next month if you have a book out.
Yep. I will. I had so much fun. Thank you so much for having me on.
Thanks for joining us on Book Lights.
Bye-bye.
Be sure to connect with us at www.readersentertainment.com for articles, blogs, videos, and podcasts that matter to readers.